This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, on Friday, I had a very exciting day learning about drones. The workshop I attended was sponsored by the Madison County Career and Technical Education System, and teachers and staff of schools from surrounding towns attended. We started the day at Seavers Equipment Company in Hamel, and after the classroom portion of the workshop, we took a trip to Kyle Brazzi's farm to gain some hands-on experience at flying the drones. Chad Colby, the owner of Colby Ag Tech, was the main speaker for the day. Chad is a technology guru, to say the least, and I had a chance to catch up with him after the program. Chad, just give us a minute and tell us a little about yourself and how you started doing what you're doing today.
So basically, I'm about the biggest ag geek there is. I'm in my mid-40s, so on our farm growing up, you know, we didn't have a computer until I built one, right? So at the end of the day, technology the last really 8 or 10 years has really been impacting agriculture in a big way, right? You know, initially it was a big deal when we got cell phones, okay? Okay, that was a good thing. I was there with Dad, you know, and now we got AutoSteer. Now pretty much everybody has AutoSteer, okay? Well, now we're kind of venturing out into other things, right? Different sensors, different monitors and cabs, lots of different great stuff. But unmanned systems in the last couple of years has just been one of the hottest topics. And kind of what we showed people here today, it's not complicated, okay? You got to follow the rules, and you have to understand what the policies and stuff is with the FAA. But it's just amazing what you can do with a couple thousand dollars and an iPad.
So I was very impressed by the things that I learned today, which coming to this, I know we started out in the classroom. I didn't know a lot, the basics, I guess, of that. Oh, we use these for crop scouting, but very impressive. And I want you to touch on, for those that aren't familiar, just some of those rules. I know you can't fly at night, how high you can fly. Just touch on a couple of those main ones.
The most important thing, whether you're agriculture or you're at home and you got a rowdy neighbor, at the end of the day, there's a website called knowbeforeyoufly.org. It's put on by the FAA, and I'm a licensed pilot as well, and I'm also a 333 exemption holder, which allows me to actually fly this stuff commercially if I would want to. But the bottom line is, for the most part, everybody's just doing this as a hobby, just flying for fun. But you still have to go through that process to understand. You have to register your ship. It costs $5. But part of that registration process is confirming that you know the basics of basically model, remote control, hobby type aircraft. And alluding to what you said, you know, within visible sight always, you have to always be able to see it with your eyes. So that limits the range to half or three quarters of a mile. That's as much as you and I can see. Height of 400 feet, daytime only, not over people, not over sporting events. I'm going to say it again, not over people, not over sporting events. And what you're going to see happen in the next 6 months is some new policies and procedures that come out. And quite frankly, just really strong laws, fines, rules. So if you decide to do that, there will be a consequence, no different than anything else. But the FAA is doing very well right now. We're making some real progress, and it's just an exciting time for agriculture. What was demonstrated this group today is, you know, a few minutes, you're at your 100 or 200 acre cornfield, you want to take a few great pictures. Oh my gosh, you can do it. And you flew it. What did you think? I mean, asking you, what did you think of flying it for the first time?
It was a lot easier than I expected, because I had mentioned I was a little scared, because I said I'm not very good. The only thing I've flown is one of the remote control helicopters that I got for Christmas. Right. But it's much easier than that.
Right. Well, it is. And it's, you know, it has GPS. And today was not a nice day. I mean, first of all, it's cold, so everybody's hands are cold. Spring is not here quite yet, but it's windy. I mean, it's a 15, 20 mile an hour windy day, and everybody said, Chad, are you even going to demo and show us this stuff today? Well, you know, of course I am. But, you know, it was nice. We had heaters in the building so the folks could stay inside. But, you know, it's great seeing the excitement. And, you know, we've got educators here from all over the area. And, man, to think they're going to take their passion and share this with students, this is a big deal. And it's just exciting. I love talking and sharing, and that's what it's all about.
Well, it's definitely been a great day. And a point you made earlier is that the users of these drones in agriculture is on the top of that list. So let's talk a little to that and some information about what people in ag are using these for.
That's a great question. So anything to do with remote sensing, and whether that's a satellite in space, or an airplane like they've been doing for 20 years, or a drone like we saw today, remote imagery is really designed to do one thing, and that is to to sense things that we can't see with our eyes. That's the short story. And basically, the only thing a drone does any different than an airplane or a satellite is it's almost real time. We can just do it so fast right now with a drone. You know, I can pull alongside that field, throw one of these up in a few minutes and get some advanced imagery. But the most important thing from a farmer's aspect is trying to find issues in his field quick enough. And when he finds those issues, is it something a grower can fix? Whether that's insect, disease, water, too much, not enough, crop damage from weather, so on and so forth. And that's really the value. And I, when I'm talking to growers around the world, everybody has the same problem. They only have so much time in a day. You know, my grandpa told me growing up, you know, I only have to work half a day. And you know, grandpa's right. And I usually work half a day, and that's 12 hours. Okay. And that's normal on a farm. There's not one farmer that does that any different than I do. But the difference is it's a time saver. And you can track things in a field and do some great things with the technology.
Well, we talked about all those uses, and there are farmers using these, and you made a point that they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a new tractor or a planter, but then their iPad is about 3 years older. And you actually said that it's going to work more efficiently the newer the technology you have. So tell us a little about that.
So I'm glad you brought that up. So when I speak to people and it's talking about smartphones and how far they've evolved, right, and tablets and how important they are, and you ask a room of 50 people or 500, how many of you have an iPad? Well, you don't really need to ask it anymore because basically everybody has one. But the thing a lot of people don't understand is your two-year-old iPad, a new iPad Pro today costs the same as they did 3 years ago, except the new one in many cases is four or five times better on all fronts. And companies, whether it's Monsanto or Dow or John Deere or Case IH or any company that's creating apps, they're using the new stuff because it's four and five times faster than one, two or three years ago. And my frustration is I'll talk to a grower who's a multi-million dollar grower, which is no big deal now. That's what farms are today. But they don't know they should spend $300 and upgrade their iPad until they do it. And then they're like, wow, okay, that was a mistake. Why didn't somebody tell me? So that's what you're alluding to today is one of the topics I have is, listen, if your iPad's a couple years old, then spend the money, get another one, give that to your son or grandson or whoever, and get the new one. So that's an important process in this equation of staying current with technology.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of great things. Any takeaways that you would like people to have from listening to this or what your message would be?
It's just be responsible. You know, embrace the new technology, but do it safely. You know, go to knowbeforeyoufly.org, regardless what your role is. You're a farmer that wants to fly. You're a superintendent that's trying to figure out what to do in his school or a church or a youth group or a policeman or the... It doesn't matter what your role is. If you go there, they'll tell you what the rules are because a lot of people just don't know today. It's not going to be a big deal 10 years from now. But right now it is, and you need to understand how to operate this stuff safely.
Chad Colby, speaker and owner of Colby Ag Tech. I also had a chance to talk with a couple of ag teachers while I was there. So stay tuned this week to hear my conversations with Rick Spencer of Gillespie High School and John Davin of Edwardsville High School. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.